morning, everybody. This is Emily from the Willow Pod, and this morning I've got for us Vanessa Hayhier, who played Dawn in The Willows. So we're really lucky to have her. She's come here to tell us a little bit about what filming was like. Before we start talking about The Willows, could you tell us a bit about yourself and what drew you to accepting the role of Dawn?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for inviting me on. It's very exciting. So, yes, I have been an actor for 20 years. In the last couple of years, I've started writing and directing myself. I've done a couple of short films. So I'm very much in for collaboration and working on new projects, not necessarily big TV stuff. And yes, so last year obviously was a tough year for everybody with lockdown. And as the and obviously with the acting industry, it completely just came to an utter halt. So it's a bit scary. So me and my husband were off doing other different types of jobs just to make ends meet and everything. And then as the world slowly started to reopen towards the end of last year, and we were going up for parts and for jobs and stuff, this actually came in through my husband's agent. So I'm also married to an actor, Leon Ockenden. We've been married 11 years now.
Congratulations. Well done.
I know, well if you met him, you know how hard work he is. And this came through from his agent, and they were obviously looking for a married couple or a couple to perform together. So obviously bubbles are now very important in the world we live in, working safely within COVID. And so it's sort of like a series of short films. Have a read, see what you think. And I read it, and obviously lots of things come through, and agents really like it. See if you respond to the material or not. And some stuff have come in recently at this time, and it's like, oh, this is terrible. And having made and written my own stuff, I'm a bit like, oh, I don't want to be involved in a project like that. And then when I read The Willows, I was like, oh my God, this is brilliant. I wish I'd written this. This is lovely. Lovely. I mean, obviously the subject matter wasn't, but as an actor, you always look for something juicy and to get really into the essence of the character. And reading this, it was just like, oh, this is quite refreshing, even though it's quite obviously a very hard going subject. And it resonated with me because my second short film, at the centre of my film, it's called Cuckoo, is about domestic violence. So it was an area I'd done a lot of research on, and I'd spoken to lots of women, and an area I don't really feel gets enough attention. And, it's fine to dramatise stuff, but actually, if this can help somebody, or they can recognize it, and this is why we tell stories, for the people that sometimes don't have a voice. And I thought it was beautifully written, and I was really excited, and I was like, oh my gosh, I definitely want to audition for this. And so we did the self-tape, and I think we picked the scene where Dawn is coming out of the shower. So I literally was in the towel in my kitchen as we were filming it. And we did one take, and I was like, that was great. I don't need to do it again. I was like, you sure? Is it crap? Is it whatever? Anyway, one take, we sent it off. And then I was actually filming in Ireland. Actually, I wasn't filming in Ireland. I had been brought in to take over a BBC Three comedy, a main part in this show, because the actress had got COVID.
Oh, no.
They dragged me all the way to Belfast. I had a quarantine for a week. I was about to start. And then the actress that had the job taken away from her, finally, after 45 or 60 days of testing positive for COVID, was now negative. And they're like, oh, actually, Vanessa, we don't need you. We're going to send you home. I'm packed for 6 weeks. But as I was there waiting at the airport to fly back to the UK, going, oh, great, I've been in Belfast for 48 hours, not 6 weeks. And I got the call to say that we'd been offered The Willows. I was like, oh, that's great. Well, at least I can go back and do that. So yes, and that was it. And then it all kind of happened. In this little couple of weeks, we went to Hereford, which is, I thought we were going to Hertfordshire, which is near where I live. Well, I was quite surprised that, oh, it's a 5-hour drive. We won't be able to do the school run and film. it was kind of lovely to actually leave my house properly for the first time in God knows how long. Yeah. Getting time away from my child, no homeschool.
Yes.
And very nice to work with my husband. We have worked together before. We worked in a TV series called Waterloo Road years ago. And we were already married at that point, and then he came on to play my lover. So it was quite nice to work together again in a very different style. And he's helped produce my short films, but we've not acted together in many years. So it was a real joy to kind of work with him again as well. And we have very different ways of working. But also I think when you're married to somebody, you're playing opposite, and obviously the subject matter was very sensitive and hard going, you're not frightened to push the boundaries. And obviously people that are in relationships, like, unfortunately, like Dawn and Peter, you know, they're not following a script. They're acting on impulse and stuff. And I think that was a nice thing that we're working together, that we didn't have to be frightened to push each other's buttons. And also we knew when too much was too much.
Yeah, I was really interested in talking about that. Was it hard? Was it hard working with him on that topic?
Well, the problem was, like, I really hated him. In the days, I also underestimated, because it's been obviously a year of not any acting, and then this was the first role that both of us, I think, had. It was our first going back in after a year of not filming. And yes, it was horrible, because at the end of the day, I just wanted to get as far away from him as possible. And yet we were stuck together in a hotel room, which was like, you know, the size of my bathroom. It was so tiny. And it's like, I underestimated how I would feel after 5 days of shooting. I've never been that tired. And the process was relentless. I don't mean it. I mean, as an actor, you enjoy getting your teeth into these characters. Yeah. And especially when they were so well written as Dawn, and such a support. And Rachel Lambert, the director, was just the most, I think, my favourite director of all time. it's totally inspiring. And as a up and coming director myself, I was learning so much from just watching her. But it was exhausting. And then I remember at night just going, I just need a glass of wine. And, you know, usually I wouldn't drink if I was doing a job. I was like, go to bed, learn your lines. And there was a lot to get through. We had a very short space of time and we were up against the clock at every point. But I was like, no, I need a gin. I need wine. And he was like, professional mode. I was like, nope, it's been a hard day. And I've cried more than I've ever cried. But it was a bit weird working with him. And that first day, we actually started off with some of the trickiest scenes. Actually, I think it's in the last part of the film, but actually it was the first thing we filmed. And that first day was just like a roller coaster of emotions. It had actually all the big crying scenes and the shower scene, which I found just so repulsive. Yeah. And just for a woman having, you know, we have a daughter. If my husband had told me that I was fat and just, oh my God, and let's have a look at you and your body, oh, I just think it's awful. So yeah, it was hard, but that's a credit to Leon, because he was so brilliantly fantastic at being so
foul.
And scary. And also, you know, he is so, you know, he's 6'1", he's very muscular, and I am quite small. You forget, obviously, when you're married and we're a team, and, you know, I'm the one that wears the trousers in our house. And then to have that to be played out, and actually physically as well, how you're made to feel it in a scene. And it was horrible. It was, you know, there was kind of, in some ways, no acting required once you put your own, you know, you put yourself in the character's shoes. And I work from a place where I just always imagine, like, I don't listen to music, I don't think of somebody else. I just imagine if this was happening to me, how I would respond. It's the only way I can, as an actor, just to make it truthful and for me to connect to the material. And obviously when you've got your own husband and he's saying this stuff to you, it's almost easier to do the performance, because you're already halfway there. You're not having to fake a relationship or...
Yeah.
It was scary. And my husband is just the nicest person in the world.
I'm so glad to hear that. He's
so lovely. He's the most, and he's super duper sensitive as a human being. Like, he cries at everything.
Are you sure he wants us to hear this?
But that's it. He's like an open book. Anyway, he'd bore you to death. He doesn't have a filter. But I think also for him to play these roles, and he does usually get cast sort of the dashing romantic baddie lead in whatever drama he's doing. But I think to push it as well, I mean, I think as well, you know, it was probably quite enjoyable to push your boundaries of, you know, do something quite horrible. But I think he felt awful for me. Like, I'm so sorry, I love you. He's like, don't touch me. It wasn't like the romantic, oh, we're in a hotel for a week. It's like, stay away from me. You're horrible as a character. And you just, and because he had stubble as well, and Leon's always so clean shaven and so sort of matinee eyed with his lovely floppy hair, and like, he was like, really, you know? And I was like, this is everything I don't like.
Oh, maybe we need to have him come and talk on the podcast to get his side. It'd be really interesting.
He's down in our annex working at the moment. I'm sure he'll come and gate crash in a minute. He's on his way to an audition for a horror film, so
oh no. Yeah, I know when I saw the first sort of, I don't know what you call it, the first cut of the film, I sent an email to Rachel and I said, oh, I love Dawn. I love Dawn. She's amazing. I absolutely hate Peter. He's a git. And so, yeah, he definitely did his job really well. And just talking about the shower scene as well, I delivered some training yesterday and the film is part of the training. And there was a police officer on it and I watched him on screen as he was watching the film. And that bit where Peter says, take your towel off, the police officer sort of, it's hard to explain on a podcast, but he just sort of grew. You could see him getting ready to, but I think he was probably getting ready to punch Peter. But yeah, so credit to him. It was just amazing acting. It really didn't look like acting. We did have to be assured that you're a happily married couple afterwards.
Yeah, no, but that scene was awful. And it's, and I guess as well, credit to the script. It was a lot of the things that it's the things that aren't said that actually are the most horrifying within the Willows. And just, you know, just because someone's not being used as a punch bag, the abuse is so horrendous, and to be made to feel that way and completely powerless and so isolated. And obviously, you know, living in the time we are at the moment where so many people, I remember seeing a billboard at the end of our road go up a few months after, probably about this time last year, saying, you know, abusers don't, you know, I can't remember what the thing was about lockdown though, like the abusers live at home, you can't escape that.
Escape them, yeah.
You just go, oh my God. I mean, I'm really lucky. I like my family. And even that was tough. What if it's just, and it goes on and people, you know, the shame or the fact they're too scared or where do they go to? I mean, Dawn was lucky that she had friends, but even at that point, her pushing them away, not knowing and made to feel, you know, guilty for something you hadn't done. It's just, and then also a young child. We have a daughter the same age. In fact, our daughter at one point was going to come and be our actual daughter in the show.
Oh, wow. But
logistics wise, when I thought we were filming in Hertfordshire, not Hereford, I was like, oh no, she's got to go to school and she's been off school for like a year. So so unfortunately, she does act as our daughter, but she didn't join us on that occasion. In a way, I'm part of me goes, oh, I'm a bit glad, because she's already had to deal with me with my short film, which again was, you know, again, and I worked a lot different story, but again, the crux about being in an abusive relationship, and it was more told through the point of view of a child. But having to live through that with me for a year, I was like, actually, I don't want you coming anywhere near this. It's too much.
Oh. So how do you hope that the film, The Willows, and your portrayal of the character, how do you hope that it helps victims?
Well, I suppose it's maybe redefining what you consider a victim, you know, and for sort of approaching Dawn, she, you know, she's a strong woman, you know, she's on a, she, you know, she's working on a farm, she's got a daughter, you know, she's not, you know, she's every woman. She could be me. She could be my sister or my best friend. And the fact that just because, you know, she's not covered in bruises. Or being in, but yet the abuse is so real, just because you can't see it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. But also how she's her whole world is just falling in on top of her and being constantly put down and told you're failing, and you start to believe that. So yeah, I mean, obviously I know you're showing this to a wide variety of people, but whether this, you know, people that deal in social care or help potential victims like Dawn, you know, real, you know, again, just see the other side, and I guess maybe, you know, how you approach it. I mean, her friends in the film are very caring, but actually it doesn't quite get through for a while, you know, and it has you know, telling somebody you've got to leave him, you've got to do this, and actually the reality of doing that and finding the confidence and believing that you're, you know, you have got the strength to do that, and that, you know, this isn't acceptable, you know, and what will people think, and just like, and also maybe that people don't realize that they're in those relationships, they think that's the norm, and they, you know, it's what, like Stockholm syndrome, where you still love your abuser, and you know, and it, and actually you see it all around more so now. I think, you know, I look at relationships with people I know and thinking, God, that's just not right. But yet people oh, it's fine, it's just his way, it's okay, it's my fault. And, you know, no, it's not. Maybe if it opens up a conversation and a dialogue and, you know, alerts people that, again, just because you don't see the bruises, it's like, again, like, you know, going into a whole mental health thing just because you can't see it. But you take your car for an MOT, but people don't look after themselves, and, you know, how, you know, we're vulnerable people. And especially as well with last year with lockdown, and I know there's some of those statistics about what was happening in abusive relationships and how many more women were killed at the hands of their partners and stuff. It's just shocking. So
Obviously we saw an increase in Derbyshire of calls to the domestic abuse services. It's not been nice. So I'm guessing you mentioned your film Cuckoo.
Yes.
Right? Yeah, so you've done some research, I guess, for that. And one of my questions was, did you learn anything about domestic abuse whilst developing your character?
Yes, I suppose I did. Not like one big fact, but I guess you just see, you experience other women's journeys. And obviously, as when I'm writing a story, I based mine on a family story, quite a tragic story. But then doing my bit of research, it was obviously, I was telling mine from the point of view of the child, of how they cope with mechanisms. And mine was about the child that has this imaginary friend to deal with what they are seeing.
Yeah.
Like a little saviour to take them away and to be the strength to convince the mother to leave the father. But I remember I think some of the shocking statistics that I found that I didn't realise was something like over 300,000 mothers and children are in, like, housing, you know, in mother homes, that have had the guts, the courage to leave their partners. They're in safe housing. And you just think, how many hundreds of thousands, like, didn't, and you know, children that are affected, and what then falls, how it falls down the line, and, you know, what they grow up and how their lives are actually affected by something that, you know, it doesn't happen in front of the kids and what have you. So I think I was a slightly different perspective of a story, unfortunate story, that we all kind of hear about, but a different angle. But yes, I guess I probably absorbed a lot of that. And I also probably learned from my lead actress, seeing how she portrayed it. I'll steal some of those tricks.
Oh, yeah, well, you definitely did a good job in portraying Dawn, really. One of the most powerful scenes for me was the where you were sat next to the bed and the crying, and just that utter desperation and loneliness, I think it portrayed. Yeah, it was just really fantastic. Oh, look. Oh, hello. Hello, Peter. I'm not sure we want to talk to you.
I was just saying how lovely you are, in that, like, the most sensitive person in the world, who cries at everything, like cries at cake shows, like everything.
Oh dear. Oh.
I'll tell you a little thing. We had because obviously the subject matter when we were filming was so grim, but it was in the evenings, even though we were having such a nice time in the evenings. It was like work was really horrible because Vanessa was crying all day and I was not being very nice. And then in the evenings though. Oh, we were having a lovely glass of wine.
Well, I was just saying, I was like, well, we're usually very fresh, like, we're working, whatever. It's like, no, I need a drink. I need a glass of wine at the end of the day. Although I think we were going to sleep about 9 o'clock every night because we were exhausted.
Especially you, because you were being put through the emotional wringer.
Yeah, that scene on the bed was I think the second scene we filmed on the first day. I can't even remember what we were saying. I've seen the bedroom, yes, but that was Rachel was really, the director was brilliant with that scene, because once we sort of found our position and we talked through, and she just said, I really want you to go through where I want to edit this. I want to see all the different stages and the different emotions, and rather than it play out for 10 minutes, I'm going to cut in. So she was brilliant. So I was sat on the floor, obviously, and she was sat just around the other side of the door, and she would just shout out, I want you to think, he might hurt your daughter, he might do this. And she was putting brilliant thoughts so I could think them, so then I could actually react to it, or you know what, you just want to kill it, you know. And so it was brilliant having her just feed me in what she wanted Dawn to be visualizing, and it really helped. So the only problem is, even now, I've been acting since I was a teenager, so like 25 years, and I still don't have the ability to switch off the tears. Like, once you go for it, you go, and it's like, cut. I'm still crying. That, so are you happy with that? Are we happy with that? I'm gonna get a cup of tea. It's COVID, you couldn't touch the tea, and you're like, literally, I was like crying for about 10 minutes after. So I'm like, no, I'm fine, guys. I just can't. And it's that thing of not being able to switch. switch it off. I don't know people that can just do that. I can't. Once I go there, I'm off. And it takes a lot to make me cry, but when I do start, I'm Leon just cries all the time. Probably living with me.
That's so interesting, because yeah, you think once you've finished filming, you know, that's it. Like you say, just it's pull just it all together.
So when it comes out, when you go, so like I was just saying earlier, you know, my process when I work is I really do imagine myself in those situations, and that's the only way I feel I could be truthful, rather than, you know, I'm not saying I'm going to play serial killer, I'm going to go kill somebody, but, you know, putting yourself within those worlds and just imagining. And I have a very vivid imagination, and, you know, anything to do with kids. Like, I remember when I first had my daughter, and I couldn't watch anything on daytime TV, like the Donkey Sanctuary. I was bankrupt. I was just signing up to everything, all those things. And when you're in that, you know, stay. Yes, I still haven't learned how to switch off the tears. But yeah, the glass of wine or gin and tonic probably helped.
Oh, God, yes. I'd be interested to see how the sales of alcohol were affected during lockdown.
Oh my God, I turned into a cocktail maker. It's like, we're not going out ever. In fact, I'm still so weirdly nervous about going out. I don't know what that's going to be like, going to a bar or a restaurant. And part of me is, why would I go and pay for a drink now when I can make my own at home and make it so much nicer and then just roll into bed?
Exactly. And nobody sees you.
Well, I've got pyjama bottoms on underneath. I have actually put proper clothes on today.
Oh, lovely. Thank you. I'm in the office. I've had to dress properly. Just finally, has it changed your perspective at all on rural domestic abuse? I mean, the isolation.
Definitely. It's I again, like a lot of people, I you know, live in London, but we were very much like, oh, we want to sell up our place in London, we want to move to the countryside. And when we went looking around, and it's funny now when you kind of think, when we've gone to visit friends, and well, actually not this year, but towards the end of last year, I think just before we went to the lockdown, we went down to Dorset, where we have a lot of family friends, and thinking, oh my God. But it does open your eyes. You do look thinking, any of these people, and they're so isolated here, and you could just be battered and no one would know, and who can you tell? And it's scary. It's really scary. My parents are both from Ireland, and my dad is from like the middle of nowhere, and was brought up on a farm. And I just think of like my grandma. I mean, I think my granddad was a very sweet, softly spoken farmer. But to just think, though, that was like her with five kids, and I mean 7 miles from anybody. Oh my God, what, you would go insane. I mean, I was struggling last year being in my house, not being able to see my friends and moaning about life. I mean, when you've got something that serious and nobody to turn to, you're just going to eat yourself up. It's horrendous. And where do you escape to? I mean, here I can go to the corner shop, or, you know,
exactly.
Where you're not even getting those moments or to see people. And I guess for Dawn as well, her only time she's out with the outside world, and he drops her off in the car, is doing the school run. And even then, he wouldn't even let her have a conversation with somebody in case, you know, she gave away something, and his jealousy. It's just horrendous. And, you know, that happens. Mm-hmm. And you just hope that, you know, if anything, or if someone recognizes someone they know who watched the film, or even if someone is happening to them, and they can, you know, be brave to, and I don't know how you do that, and I'm lucky, hopefully I'll never have to experience something like that, but to find the courage to stand up and leave and say this mm-hmm. isn't okay. I mean, but yeah, and when you've got kids as well, I think you go, oh, I don't want to affect the kids. And that, you know, when I wrote my own domestic violence, well, abuse story, it was my aunt who didn't want to leave my uncle and my mum's sister. She had three kids. And that point of what it got to, before, how far do you have to go? You know, you're going to risk your life, which potentially could happen. And a lot of people do die. You know, how far do you go with that when you make excuses? And I'm saying for the kids, and, you know, my parents have just gone through a divorce, and, you know, they're in their 70s. And even looking back, and just, you know, my dad again, gentle giant, would never raise a hand, but how he's worn my mother down, and I see that. And how actually weirdly, when we're reading the Willows as well, thinking, God, those little comments of what you do just to belittle somebody, and when you say it enough and you say it to other people, and then you know, my mum turned into this beast that my dad had always said she was, because she's constantly been belittled, and it's just like mental cruelty. And mm-hmm. Yeah, again, there's no bruises, and she, you know, yes. Very protective woman. But again, I think that's a woman who's run a successful business, and she's feisty, and she's all girl power, and she's got two daughters and, you know, granddaughters, and she's all for women empowerment. And yet she stayed with a man who destroyed her confidence, but never raised a hand. And I think it's that's like eye opener of what abuse actually is classed as well.
Absolutely. And it's really good that the coercion and control laws have come into place to make people more aware that it doesn't have to be, you know, women don't have to be covered in bruises, like you say, and have a black eye. It is the, you know, coercion and control is a real thing. I just wanted to thank you again. Before we sign off, have you got anything coming up that you want to talk about? Are you... Where can we find the film The Cuckoo?
Well, unfortunately, it won't be on sort of general release unless you. Well, it's premiering. It's got its British premiere and its worldwide premiere in 2 weeks' time in North Carolina. So if anyone wants to go to North Carolina,
if it's in the budget.
You can watch it there, and it also has an online premiere. Obviously, a lot of the festivals still aren't in person yet, but it gets its UK premiere at the Barnes International Film Festival in 2 weeks' time. So if you want to sign up and go, you can be able to watch it online. But yes, it's on its journey now, literally until this time next year. So it's on the film festival until spring 2022, and then after that it can be shared to the world. But yes, it's doing the rounds. But auditioning for nice TV jobs, then getting the call on the Friday, so that's what I'm waiting for to hear. Sorry, it's not gone your way. But no, I am currently on a mentorship with Channel 4 screenwriting to develop my original television ideas. So I'm working with a lovely development executive through Channel 4. So I'm just busy writing every day to develop my own ideas. And I'm actually turning Cuckoo into a feature film. So the short now will be a proof of concept. And yes, I'm busy writing that. I hope to shoot that towards the end of next year. And yes, and just try and get my comedy pilot into development somewhere via Sky One, hopefully. But yeah, so I'm just busy writing and auditioning when interesting parts come up. But I'm definitely trying to be a bit more behind the camera and writing, directing, telling stories, especially female-driven stories and stories we don't hear. And as a woman who's about to embark on my 40s, I want to see stories that I watch the TV. I want to see stories that represent the world I live in. And you know, saying that, a lot of mine have murder in.
Okay.
On double lives and murder and a leprechaun. I've got the whole gamut. So yes, that's what is keeping me very busy at the moment. And just trying to keep my 8-year-old. I'm just so sure she's at school. That's thank goodness she's at school.
Yeah.
Terrible teacher. Not the best. So.
Again, I have three children. So homeschooling was just. It was a trial, you know, by fire. It was awful. So glad they're back at school. So thank you so much. Thank you. It's been so lovely speaking to you. And we will keep an eye out for all the other things you're doing.
Oh, thank you. I'm desperate to come back and work with you guys again, because we had a ball. It was brilliant telling stories like that, and I really do hope that if they help one person, you know, walk away from whatever their situation is, male or female, you know, that then, you know, we've done something great. We've set out to do what we hoped we would. So
we'll bear that in mind. We'd love to have you back.
We had such a nice time. It was lovely working with people that care and love their jobs as well. I think a lot of the time when you work in like a lot of long running dramas and stuff, people, you know, it becomes a real, you know, well, it's not 9 to 5, but 7 till 7 job, where they just start to resent being there. And actually everyone has so much passion and wanted to tell the story the best they could. And it's lovely to be surrounded by such a great group of creatives and led brilliantly by Rachel, who was just wonderful, and made everyone's job so easy to do. So.
Aww. Thank you. Thank you so much. We're going to sign off now and we'll see you again. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Bye.